promises of God's advent. Come expectantly with all your questions. Bring to this place all your hopes and dreams. To behold the majesty of our God, draw near to God's holy way.
We join with sisters and brothers around the world, lighting candles to mark our steps in this Advent journey.
Today, we light the candle of hope.
Even though the world seems dark and cold, we know that the light of Christ is coming. The face of our Lord will shine, and we shall be saved.
Testifying against all suffering and darkness, we kindle this light. Together, we proclaim to the world that in Christ, we have hope.
Sunday, even if I've developed a chest cold overnight, it's good to be here. Grace and peace to you on this first Sunday of Advent. Advent is the season in which we prepare ourselves for the celebration of Christ's birth, and we are glad that you have chosen to worship today. If you happen to be anywhere near the center aisle, or even if you need to scooch over, please locate the friendship pad and grab that. Please sign your name and pass it down the pew for all to sign. And if you are a first-time visitor, we have a gift of a loaf of bread for you. It represents Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. You may receive this gift at the Welcome Center immediately as you exit the sanctuary on the left-hand side. We warmly invite everyone to coffee hour and fellowship hall after the services. Our emphasis is worship plus two. Participate in worship, then do something to deepen your spirit and something to help others. This morning, come to the church office to sign up for the church conference dinner on Monday, December 8th. Or order a poinsettia for the altar, or pick up a free Advent devotional book. And in Fellowship Hall, you can order greens from the Boy Scouts, or volunteer to bake for or to help with the cookie walk, which is next Sunday, December 7th. Remember also that we have a question and answer time at 5 p.m. today about the opportunity to receive the properties and endowment of the Berkeley United Methodist Church. It's 5 p.m. We'll be meeting in Fellowship Hall. And also, the Adrian College Choir and the Adrian College Jazz Choir are presenting a Christmas concert here in our sanctuary this coming Friday at 6:30 p.m. Put it on your calendar and plan to invite others. It will be a great way to prepare for Christmas. And if you care to join Merrymaids, there's information on doing that in your green sheet. As Advent begins, we will also be having a Wednesday morning worship service with communion at 7:40 a.m., 7:40 on Wednesday. All are welcome, and this week, Reverend Suzanne Walls will be our speaker. And we invite you to return next Sunday, though perhaps not necessarily at this service. when at 9:30 and 11 a.m. our Genesis and Ictus choirs are presenting Vivaldi's Gloria, truly a joyful way to celebrate Christ's birth. In our prayer concerns, we ask your prayers of caring and support for our members who have been hospitalized this week, Ann Van Dusen and Dr. James Cato. Once again, as you worship during this season of Advent and prepare to celebrate the Incarnation, we pray that God's peace would be a part of your life, not only today, but always. And now let us enter into a time of prayer and confession. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light things that are now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of his heart. And therefore, in the light of Christ, let us join in confessing our sins. Let us pray with our unison prayer. Silent Word, creating act, hidden truth, revealed blood, we wait for you. To be precise, we are impatient for you to come and set things right. We are insecure with our world, fearful of those who might do us harm, and anxious about ourselves. We refuse your guidance, but we often wish that you would act according to our plans. We seldom pause to consider that you are waiting for us, waiting for some genuine act of contrition, waiting for us to repent and change, waiting for us to listen and respond with a burning passion to your truth, your justice, your mercy. Furnish us with humble hearts and willing spirits to receive you as you come to us through all the experiences of our lives. Amen. In silence, let us continue our confessions and sometimes, many times, our efforts fail. But God's abundant grace is strong and eternal, and forgiveness is ours through Jesus Christ. In the confidence of our faith in him, know that your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, as forgiven children of God, let us pray as Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Deuteronomy, we are taught these words, all shall give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. Let us now present our tithes and offerings as the ushers come forward.
Thank you.
Because of your love, we have hope, joy, love, forgiveness, and life everlasting. What tongue has the power to worthily praise your name? And what gift can begin to compare with your gifts to us? And therefore, we joyfully offer what we have to you as gratitude flows from our heart to you. In Christ's name.
We'll be hearing two scriptures this morning. The first is from the Old Testament, book of Genesis, the third chapter. Now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. And then our second scripture comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Paul writes, "Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is God's living word for God's living people. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
God rest ye merry, gentle ones, let nothing you dismay. For Jesus Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Amen. Sometimes it's not easy to hold all things together, is it? At this time of year especially, we've just come from a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend, but the season of Advent begins today. And some of you are probably thinking right now about your to-do lists. Oh my goodness, only 25 days until Christmas. How am I going to get it all done? I freely confess that I don't hold things very well together during the season of Advent. Now, first of all, there are so many special events and worship services in December that it makes my head spin. They're all wonderful and meaningful and speak to my heart, but it's a lot, and I hope that you'll be reading about all the wonderful concerts and activities that we have that enrich our spiritual lives during Advent. But then you add to it all of the cultural trappings of Christmas, like decorating, baking, buying presents, parties, and family expectations. And it's a lot to hold together. Have any of you had any embarrassing Christmas experiences? I think of my two favorite stories from Advent. The first happened when Gary and I were married. We had just been married a few months. And we were both in graduate school. He was working as an associate pastor in a church as well, and I was serving as the director of music in a United Methodist church as we were studying. We were invited to the staff Christmas party at Gary's church, and I was asked to bring a salad. Well, I had never gone to a staff Christmas party before. I was in my early 20s. I didn't really even know what a potluck was. I thought I had to make enough toss salad for 40 people to each have a plateful. So I bought 6 heads of lettuce and ended up with 4 huge bowls of salad, just like that one right there. And I didn't know why they were looking at me so funny, because I was bringing in bowl after bowl from the car. And I didn't get it until I got into the serving area. I saw the rest of the food, and then I noticed that only one half of one salad bowl was empty by the end of the evening. As I recall, Gary and I were eating salad for quite a few days after that staff party. The other incident happened when our oldest child, Sarah, was in kindergarten. We were living in Pentwater, and I volunteered to come into the school and help the children bake Christmas cookies. So we cut out the cookie dough into various holiday shapes, and I have the kids put the frosting on the cookies. We have a grand time mixing the frosting with food coloring, then putting on the sprinkles and hearts and chocolate chips and marshmallows. Then we slid those cookie trays right in the oven. It didn't register in my mind that the other mothers already had their cookies in the oven and hadn't gotten to the frosting yet. Soon, we smelled something burning. It was clear it was coming from my oven. I opened the door, smoke poured out, and I pulled out 2 dozen of the nastiest burned, hard, black Christmas cookies you would ever want to see. Somehow, I forgot that you don't put the frosting on until after the cookies are baked. The other women suppressed their laughter, but I could tell what they were thinking. And you call yourself a mother? I have to give Sarah credit, though. She still wanted to come home with me. As I recall, I did volunteer again at the school for a very long time, and I think that may have been one of the actual cookie pans that I used. Sometimes it's hard to hold all things together, isn't it? I mean, there's so much to know about potlucks and baking Christmas cookies and life. So much can go wrong. What holds you together? What holds your family together? What holds our world and our church together? Where do you find purpose and meaning in your life? The only way that I can hold things together in Advent is by clearing away all the clutter and the tinsel and the glitz and go back to the very roots of the Christmas story, to see Christmas from the backside. Why did Jesus come into the world in the first place? It's actually quite scandalous. The scandal of Christmas is that you and I are sinners, and Jesus came into the world to hold us together by suffering love. Paul tells us that Jesus was there with God from the very beginning, before the world even came into existence. Did you know that God created the world and us by speaking? Yes, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures." And then finally God said, "Let us make humankind in our image." The gospel writer John calls Jesus the Word that God spoke from the very beginning and was the means by which you and I were created. But in the fullness of time, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us in the baby Jesus. Why did the Word become flesh? Because of our sin. The backstory of Christmas is that the very first human beings disobeyed their Creator. You see, God created each one of us with freedom. You and I are free to do whatever we want in this life. And just like Adam and Eve, we don't always make the right choices. God could have created us to be robots, programmed to always follow God's wishes. But God wants you and me to choose to live lives of love, grace, mercy, caring, and justice. The essence of the Old Testament is how we humans disobeyed God and how God tried one thing after another to woo us back into a right relationship with God. Adam and Eve set the stage by eating the forbidden fruit. Eventually, God chose Abraham and Sarah and the people of Israel to be God's people. But the Israelites weren't perfect and went their own way. So God decided to send judges to keep the Israelites in line. But that didn't work either. Then God sent kings to rule over Israel. That didn't go so well. And then after that, God sent prophets to speak for God and warn the Israelites to get their act together. But nothing worked. The human condition is that you and I use our freedom to forge our own path through life. So finally, God decided to send God's very own Son into the world in the flesh to set things right. But wait, Jesus wasn't a king. Jesus didn't come with military might. Jesus never forced anyone to do anything. Jesus saved us by becoming one of us, born of a human mother in a nondescript town in a lower class family. The scandal of Christmas is that Jesus saved us from our sins, not just by becoming one of us, but by offering up his very life for us. Jesus holds the world together by suffering love. A willingness to be betrayed, mocked, scorned, and die for our sins, all so that we might be reconciled with God and with one another. The theologian Reinhold Niebuhr once said, "Love may have to live in history as suffering love, because the power of sin makes a simple triumph of love impossible." There is no other way. The fullness of God is shown through the suffering love of Jesus. It's the backstory of Christmas and the message of Advent. Advent is a time of preparation for the coming of the Christ child once more into our world. Unfortunately, the world has co-opted Advent for its own purposes, which is all part of the scandal. The scandal of Christmas today is that you and I buy into the outward preparations for a celebration which is really about offering our very lives to Jesus. It's not about getting or even the giving of things. Yes, purchasing presents represents our love for others, but ultimately you and I and our world can only hold together by a suffering love that has nothing to do with material things. It's not quite even December. It's still November 30th. Perhaps you're ahead of the game and have purchased all your presents, planned all your parties, done all your baking, and decorated your house. If so, congratulations. That's wonderful, because Advent, which starts today, should be a time of reflection. It's an opportunity for repentance, asking God's forgiveness for the many ways in which we fall short of God's intentions for us. Advent is a time of waiting, discerning, longing, and acting in ways that reflect God's call in our lives. What holds you together right now? What holds your family together? What holds our world together? We come here this morning because we're looking for hope, aren't we? But there's nothing we can do, there's nothing we can purchase that will bring that sense of inner peace. Despite our strength, despite our courage, despite our faith, we cannot hold ourselves together. The answer is not in us. It's not in anything else, and it's not even in the church. The answer is in someone. We have to find someone outside of ourselves to hold things together. There is really only one who can make that happen. We call him the Savior of the world. Jesus not only holds the world together, but Paul says Jesus holds the church together. Jesus is the head, the guiding spirit of this body called the church. You and I then have the privilege of being the instrument through which Christ works. Just as the world is the creation of Christ, so the church is the new creation of Christ. It's during Advent and Christmas that we literally shine as a congregation by giving ourselves away to our community and our world in love. As we celebrate, the world is looking at us. Christmas is a frequent point of entry and re-entry into the Christian faith for people who haven't practiced faith for a long time. Yes, the world is looking at us. But what our critics say is that we often celebrate Christmas in a way that diminishes and even contradicts the reasons for Christ's coming. Not so here at First Church, however. Tomorrow and Tuesday evening, hundreds of women will gather for Advent by candlelight. Many of them do not have a church home. It's our chance to model the scandal of Christmas by focusing on God's great act of love and sending Jesus into our world to bring healing and wholeness to all people. This Friday is Friday Night Lights. Pastor Chad and many volunteers, maybe some of you, will embody Christ's teaching by providing a safe place for middle schoolers to be together and hear about Jesus, the light of the world. Dozens of you are purchasing gifts for children of prisoners through our Angel Tree program. Our Tuesday morning women's study group will form an assembly line in a few weeks to make hundreds of Christmas stockings for Cass. Our Partners in Mission offering raises thousands of dollars for mission projects around the world. Many of the small groups in our church have their own Christmas projects, which involve all ages. We hold the world together. One person at a time. At the same time, we have important decisions facing us as a congregation as we explore multi-site ministry and embrace a vision for God's future. How is God calling us to extend ourselves by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ outside the walls of this campus and this community? Last spring, we were given an opportunity to merge with Troy Fellowship in order to restart vital ministry and extend our DNA of mission and outreach, transformative worship and music, and powerful children and youth ministries. And then just a month ago, we were presented with another opportunity to be in ministry in Berkeley. We did not seek either opportunity. They both came to us unsolicited, although multi-site ministry has been a part of the Next Generation strategic plan for 6 years now. Could this be God's call for us as a congregation to extend ourselves in suffering love, give ourselves away to the world in order to overcome the power of evil, injustice, and oppression and offer hope to more people? Do you remember Jesus' last words in the Gospel of Matthew before ascending to heaven? Go and make disciples. The scandal of Christmas is that at the same time as we are preoccupied with our own preparations and our own stuff, God is calling us to look outward. We need a free hand to hold on to Jesus during Advent, but we need the other hand to hold the world together for others. The scandal of Christmas is that at the same time as we lament, why now? Why us? We're too busy. Jesus says, why not now? Why not you? Why not give yourselves away as a congregation? I have given you all the resources you need. Could God be calling us to do our part in holding together Jesus' vision of a world where all people hear the good news and have enough to live full and healthy lives? We're especially mindful right now of the demonstrators who've been protesting the shooting death of Michael Brown, with the resulting shutdown of two large suburban malls in St. Louis on Friday. This was in response to a grand jury's recent decision not to indict the police officer who fatally shot Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. The ongoing story in Ferguson is a stark reminder of our call as disciples of Jesus Christ to hold the world together by admitting the truth of what is happening in the streets of our country, recognizing the ongoing challenge of racism, and committing ourselves to work for racial equality in every corner of the world. So what are your plans for the next few weeks? Going to make a tossed salad for a holiday potluck? Speak to me first. Going to bake Christmas cookies with frosting? Check in with me first. Maybe you can avoid scandal. Gonna hold the world together? Then look to Jesus first. Gonna bring light and hope to others? Then follow the one who is before all things and in whom all things hold together. Gonna serve the one who makes and reconciles all things to him? Then imitate the one who scandalously offered himself in suffering love. For Christ is coming to hold all things together. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us pray.
Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and graciousness each other now embrace. This holy tide of Advent all others doth deface. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Amen. I invite you now to turn in the bulletin to the litany, which is on the last page. And we're going to share this litany together. Christ is coming.
Christ is coming to hold all things together. In the private house, in the marketplace, in the wedding feast, in the judgment hall, Christ is coming.
Christ is coming to hold all things together.
With a gentle touch, with a strong word, with a clear conscience, with burning love, Christ is coming.
Christ is coming to hold all things together. That the kingdom might come, that the world might believe, that the humble might be raised, that suffering love might reign. Christ is coming.
Christ is coming to hold all things together.
Within us, without us, among us, before us, in this place, in every place, for this time, for all time, Christ is coming.
Christ is coming to hold all things together.
Amen. Things together. Go in peace. Amen.